We've been in a sermon series called The Adversity Gospel, and what I'm talking about in this series is how that God uses the adversities and the afflictions and the sorrows and suffering and setbacks that we experience in our lives. He uses that for our growth and for His glory. And really what I want to do today is I just want to talk about how do you let go of the pain in your life? How do you move on? How do you get through it? I said last week, you really don't get over grief, you get through grief. How do you do that? How do you get past the pain and so that you don't get stuck? So many people get stuck at the point of a major loss in their life. They've had a divorce and that's defined their life. So last week I talked about grief and how we all suffer losses in life and we have to grieve those losses. And when we talk about grieving, we're not just talking about death. We lose many things, hundreds of things in our lives. And whenever we lose those things, we experience grief. And today what I want to do is look at a specific example from the Bible about how to move past the pain of grief. And in this passage we're going to look at today, we learn some really important and practical lessons on how you get past your pain. Everybody is going to have bad things happen to them. Everybody does. So when those bad things happen, you really have three choices. You can let it destroy you. You can let it define you. Or you can let it develop you. Those are your choices. You can let it destroy you, you can let it define you, or you can let it develop you. So this morning we're going to look at this passage in the Bible where King David lost his son. He had a baby that died. But before that, I want to read this reference in Romans. It says, "Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement." So the Bible says that everything that God gave us in the Bible, it's given for your hope and encouragement. So these stories that are in the Bible, they're not just their stories. The story of David losing a child, it's not just a story. It's there for our hope and encouragement. And it's going to teach us that the path to peace is through surrender. The path to peace is through surrender. I don't know what losses you've had in your life, and I don't know what losses are going to come into your life or into my life. But you're going to need to know how to respond to them. So let's look at David and this story of him losing a child and then what he learned to do as a result of it. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David begged God to spare his child. Now let me explain here. Bathsheba, his wife that he took in an illegitimate way, but Bathsheba is his wife and she is pregnant. And she gives birth to a son, but this child is very, very sick. In fact, it's near death. And David, like any new parent, he's freaking out. He's on the floor. He's praying and he's crying and he's weeping. It says, David begged God to spare the child. He went without food. In other words, he's fasting. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. So he's just prostrate on the ground praying, begging God to save his child. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. So this is going on for days. No eating, just praying. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill, they said. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him the child is dead? When David saw them whispering, He realized what had happened. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." From the rest of the story that follows this, I'm going to share with you the six things that David does here after he experiences a major loss. He's been praying for this baby to be well, but the baby dies. Maybe you can relate to David's intense kind of prayer. You've been praying for something for a long time, maybe your whole life. And it's like all of a sudden, the prayer dies because you didn't get the job. You didn't get the promotion. The relationship you've been praying about, it ended. The dream died. You've been praying intensely, but all of a sudden, the prayer dies. So you have to decide, am I going to let it destroy me, or am I going to let it define me, or am I going to let it develop me? What does David do? Six things. If you've ever needed to take notes, it's today. The first thing I need to do if I want to get on the pathway to peace is this: accept what cannot be changed. That's the first thing I have to do on the path to peace. That's the first step in surrender. I have to accept what cannot be changed. Because when people receive bad news, what's their first response? Their first response is to reject it. In fact, when you tell somebody really bad news, you know, usually the first thing they'll say is, they're in shock, is, "It can't be." I remember a number of years ago, a really close friend of mine died. And when they called me to tell me, the first word out of my mouth was, "No. No, I don't want that to be true. I don't want to accept that. I don't want to believe that. It couldn't be. It's impossible. It's not real." Because our minds reject shocking news. So the first reaction is no, it can't happen. It's not supposed to happen like this. That's just a typical, normal first reaction. But slowly, reality starts to set in and you can't deny it anymore. And that's where the surrender begins. Surrender is accepting the reality. So here's what David did, and it says in verse 22. David replied, "I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again?" The answer is no. What's David doing? He's accepting what cannot be changed. When you have an immediate loss, when you get a lab report and you find out that something's growing inside of you, it's shocking. Or someone who's been in your life, they're suddenly gone, it's shocking. The only response is you have to accept it. Whatever loss you've had in your life, no matter what the loss is, the first thing you have to do is accept what cannot be changed. Denial will do you no good. Start talking about the loss. Acknowledge it and accept it. I've met with many people when they found out they had very serious cancer, and some people who are Christians, well, they want to deny it. They want to pretend it isn't there. That won't do you any good. That's not faith. So acceptance doesn't mean you stop caring. Acceptance doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It still hurts. Acceptance doesn't mean that you even think that what happened is good. It isn't good. None of that is acceptance. Acceptance simply means I can't change it. David said, "My son has died. I can't change that." Corrie Ten Boom, she lived through the Nazi concentration camps, and while she was there, her sister died. Her family died, suffered great adversity. She said, In acceptance, there is peace. In acceptance, there is peace. Let me ask you, what do you need to accept that's over in your life? Maybe it's that job. You keep thinking, maybe they're going to call you back. Maybe they're going to give you another chance. Maybe you did something, you blew it, you messed it up. Maybe it's just time to say it's over. Maybe it's some relationship that's over. And you just keep hoping that they're coming back. You keep hoping that they're going to call. They're not coming back. It's over. Maybe you need to accept that a certain season of your life is over. I remember when I played hockey in the men's league, and there was this guy who was always telling us about this big goal he scored in junior hockey. I thought, buddy, that was 20 years ago. You're not 17 anymore. Have you looked in the mirror? That season of your life is not coming back. It's over. You need to accept what cannot be changed. So the past, for good or for bad, the good things and the bad things, they're seasonal. The past is past. Some of you, you've had a dream and it hasn't happened. Well, it's over. You've got to get a new dream. You've got to get a new vision. You need to get a new goal for your life. So that's the first step. You have to accept what cannot be changed. The second step is this. Remember, it's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. So that's the second step on the path to peace, through surrender. When we experience devastating or catastrophic loss, it's normal just to feel like this is the end. It's the end of the world. You feel like your life is over. You feel like nothing good's ever going to happen in your life again. So King David, as he experienced the loss of his son, he's able to focus on the hope that was ahead of him, believing it wasn't the end of the story. He says in verse 23, I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. So he understood. He accepted his son would never be with him again on this earth. But he was confident he's going to be reunited with his child, that his son was not going to come to him, but he was going to go to his child. That his baby's death, that it wasn't the end of the story. By the way, this verse is like the best evidence we have in the Bible that the children, when they die, they go to heaven. We always say the only way a person can go to heaven is through trust and faith in Jesus. People always say, what about children who don't understand that, don't know that? Well, David was confident that his son was going to be with the Lord. As I've said, when tragedy strikes, it's okay to have doubts. It's okay to just pray, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Doubts are normal. Doubts are to be expected because things happen that you can't understand. Things happen and they're mysterious. Things happen, I don't know what to do with them. Things happen and it just doesn't make sense. Back in grief, one of the most challenging transitions is moving forward into the future rather than getting stuck in the past, as I talked about last week. It's a really challenging thing. Jerry Sitzer, he wrote this book, you might have heard of it, it's called A Grace Disguised. And what happened to Jerry was that in one car accident, he lost three generations. His mother and his wife and his young daughter were all killed. And he writes this wonderful book, and he's talking about how do we move into the future? And he says, how could I conceive of a future without them? The very thought was abhorrent to me. Whenever I thought of the future, I still found them there, but they were never going to be there, which only made me aware of how devastating the loss was. I remembered a past that included people I did not want to give up, and I imagined a future that excluded people that I desperately wanted to keep. Some of you probably relate to that. When you think of going into the future without that person that you love, there's a There's this sense that if I move into the future, am I forgetting them? Am I neglecting them? It's a very common response to grief and to guilt and to sorrow. I don't want a future in which my loved one isn't part of it. So the answer is the same as David. I have hope because I know it's not the end of the story. I will go to him one day. Any Christian that's died, any child that's died, you can say, I will go to them one day. We're separated now, but I will go to them one day. There's a third step we see from this story of how David handled his loss in his life. The third step is just take proper care of yourself. So this might sound strange, but all of these steps are important process of moving from a place of pain to a place of peace. It says in verse 20, then David got up from the ground, he washed himself and he put on lotions and he changed his clothes. So after his son died, he gets up from the ground because he'd been lying prostrate on the ground. And he washed himself and he changed his clothes. And those are rather ordinary activities, you know, just taking a bath, changing your clothes. That's what you do every day, right? But when you're in grief, when you've had a loss, it has a way of removing the desire to even take care of yourself. When you're in deep grief, when you're suffering, when you're in mourning, who cares what you wear? It doesn't matter. Who cares if you took a shower today? Who cares if you brush your teeth? Who cares what's on the news? It's all meaningless. In fact, eating sometimes doesn't even seem necessary. Nothing tastes right. Sometimes you can't sleep. Sometimes you sleep too much. The point I'm simply making is this, that grief can be paralyzing in your life. I said last week, we grieve over many things. It's not just when someone dies. And you can have these kinds of reactions where you neglect yourself, you neglect other people, because shock has a way of paralyzing us. Sorrow has a way of overwhelming us. So David here, King David gives a really practical example of how you can respond. Because he accepted what he couldn't change. He couldn't bring his child back. And he knew it wasn't the end of the story. He knew he was going to be reunited with his son. But he knew even though he's still mourning, he had to go on living. He was grieving, but he had to go on living. That meant he began to take care of himself. So he got up from the ground. I love that picture. His grief is so overwhelming to him. He got up from the ground, he bathed, he changed his clothes. So he's still grieving, but he had to go on living. That leads us to the next step, which is this. When I refocus on God through worship. So as difficult as it seems, you need to turn your heart to God. It says in verse 20, he went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. So he has this overwhelming news of the death of his child. He knew the place to start the healing was in the tabernacle, in worship to his God. And that just represents the fact that he's surrendering to God. He wasn't angry at God like a lot of people get when something goes wrong in their life. He surrenders to God. He's willing to trust God, even though God had not answered his prayer the way he wanted him to. The temptation and grief and sorrow is to turn away from God. To go in the opposite direction from God. To run as far away as you can from God. Because you figure in some way God's responsible. So he's allowed this to happen, so you're mad at God. You're angry, you're heartbroken, so you run. But you have to turn your heart to God and worship God again. God, he's not going to abandon you because you're angry. He's not going to abandon you because you're overcome with grief. He's not going to abandon you because of your tears. He's not going to abandon you because of your doubts. One of the things I really want you to get in this series is this, that you're going to have a lot of things that happen in your life that you don't get. You know, when sorrow and suffering and setbacks and grief come into your life, you're going to ask the why questions of life. God, why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to our family? Why now? Why here? Why this? And you're going to see things that happen in the world, and you're going to go, God, why did you let that happen? Why? God doesn't owe you an explanation for why he allows anything. And I'll tell you this, not everything that happens in this world is God's will. God hates evil, and there's a lot of evil done in the world. And God could easily get rid of evil. It would be very simple. All he would have to do is take away your freedom to do it. Because you do evil things, and I do evil things too. And he could easily get rid of all the suffering by just taking away your choice, taking away my choice, and turning us all into puppets. But he wants us to voluntarily love him. So he puts up with the pain that evil causes in order to give you the freedom of choice. So you're going to go through a lot of things in your life, and there are going to be things you don't understand. You're going to have losses you don't understand. You're going to experience hurts that you don't understand. You're going to experience rejection you don't understand, problems you don't understand. But here's the thing. You don't have to understand them to be at peace. In fact, an explanation doesn't give you peace anyway. When somebody you love dies, if someone told you an explanation for it, it wouldn't make you any happier. You still have the loss. Explanations don't bring comfort. What you need is peace. It says in Philippians 4:7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This verse is saying that God gives us a peace that exceeds even what we can understand. That's the kind of peace that you experience even though you don't understand what's going on. You have no reason. You have no explanation, but you're still at peace. You don't know why it's happening, but you're still at peace. And that's the supernatural peace that comes from God. And even though you don't know why it's happening to you, you can still say, I know this. I know that God is a good God. I know that God loves me. I know that he wants what's best for my life. And I know that I can trust him even when I don't understand it. That's the peace that exceeds human understanding. And you receive that peace when you worship God, even in your pain. I remember when I was 7 and my brother was 5. And we were in the backseat of my dad's car, and he was driving through town. And in those days, you didn't have seatbelts, or you didn't bother wearing them. And so my brother and I were in the backseat, and we were horsing around. And my dad went around this sharp corner, and as he went around the corner, I sort of threw my brother against the door of the car. And as I did that, the door opened, and my brother went out into the street. So it was very traumatic. I still remember it to this day very clearly. And I froze in terror. But I remember thinking, my father will handle this. My father will handle this. And my daddy ran out and he grabbed my brother, and my brother was fine. Fortunately, he landed on his head, nothing important. You and I know that human fathers, they don't have unlimited ability. They don't have unlimited power. But your heavenly father does. And he can handle anything. He has unlimited power. He has unlimited love. So when you realize that he is good and he loves you, when things don't make sense in your life, you can have that peace. Because you know My Father will handle this. This is very important to understand because this is where a lot of people get confused. God's love does not exempt you from pain or suffering in this life. Christians have all the same problems non-Christians do. The difference is you can have the peace that exceeds human understanding. So David, he went to God's house to worship. He was surrendering to God. He still trusted God, like that song the worship team sang for us this morning. You know, when you're praying and God doesn't answer that prayer, when you need the mountain moved and it doesn't move, when you want to walk through the parted waters and it doesn't happen, what can you do? It's a right response to say, I would trust in you. Number five, there's two more steps in this path to peace. Number five, do something productive. So in your grief and in your shock and your sorrow and your sadness, part of surrender is to do something productive. Because when you get hit with unexpected loss, we can get paralyzed by it. You can get stuck in it. Like when you lose your job, it's like if you go to work tomorrow and you're called into your boss's office and he gives you the pink slip and he says, you're done. You say, I've been here for 10 years. Sorry, you're done. You're just in shock. All of a sudden, boom, you don't have a job anymore. You're paralyzed. You can't even think of what to do. So one of the things you have to do is you have to start moving. Maybe it's just a little tiny step, one small step at a time. This is the fifth part of David's recovery, is this verse. He says, after that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. I like the part, he returned to the palace and he ate. Why did he go to the palace? He's the king. The palace is, it's a place where he works. The palace is, he's basically saying, I'm going back to my responsibilities. Let me ask you, do you think David's over his grief? Of course not. You don't ever get over your grief anyway. Remember we said, you don't get over it, you go through it. So he's still grieving, yes. Is he still sad? Yes. Is he still in a whirlwind? Yes. Someone said, I don't have to stop mourning in order to start moving. I don't have to stop mourning in order to start moving. In other words, if I wait until I feel like moving, I'm not going to do it, or it's going to be a long, long time. So this is in this step, you do something productive when you've had a major loss. When you've broke up with your boyfriend, you've had somebody just walk out of your life, or you've had something happen that's catastrophic. You got the bad news that you have a friend who has cancer, something like that. Something's happened to you. You got to, at this point, you take the first step. You stop mourning and start moving. This is the faith part. You take the step of faith. Where do you need to take that baby step of faith today? What are you afraid to do? What do you know you should be doing, but you've been paralyzed and you haven't been doing it? It's your pastor, somebody who loves you. I just want to challenge you. Take that step. Today I want you to say, I'm going to do it. I'm mourning, but I'm going to start moving. I'm grieving, but I'm going to start growing. I'm hurting, but I'm going to start healing. I'm wounded, but I'm going to start walking. I'm sad, but today I'm going to step out. This is the path to peace. When you surrender your fear to God, give God that thing that you're afraid to do. Grief doesn't paralyze, fear paralyzes. There's one more step. You have to keep on loving even in your pain. You keep on loving in spite of your pain. Why do I have to say this? Because when you get hurt, your natural reaction is just to pull into a shell, to build up walls around you and say, I'm never going to let another man hurt me again. I'm never going to let another woman hurt me again. No way. That was too painful. And you pull in and you build walls. There's a way to live without pain. Have no love in your life. Love equals pain. Sorry, but don't be afraid of that. Because the pain you experience in life can make you a more loving person. When you lose somebody you love, whether they move away or they die or they reject you, it's heartbreaking. It doesn't matter what causes it, it's heartbreaking. But don't build a wall around yourself. You've got to keep on loving. What do you do when somebody rejects your love? You redirect it. Because there are a lot of people in this world that need your love. If you've always wanted to have children, you're unable to have children, what do you do with that love? Just get bitter about it? No. There are millions of orphans in the world who would love to be adopted. You redirect your love. If somebody rebuffs you, if somebody rejects you, if somebody shuts you down, what do? There are plenty of people who need your love. You redirect it. You keep on loving in your pain. You have to look at what's left, not what's lost. That's what David did. He went back, and the text tells us he loved his wife. It says in verse 24, so after the worship and all these other things, then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and David named him Solomon. Do you know what happened? Solomon became the wisest man in the world, the wealthiest man in the world. He eclipsed his father's kingdom in every regard, far greater than his father David. It happened because David didn't shut himself down and say, I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to reach out. No, the world is blessed because he loved his wife and his son, and his legacy continued. Mother Teresa said, I've found a paradox that if you love until it hurts, then there can be no more hurt and only more love. Jesus knows what it's like to love in the middle of pain. Called the cross. Jesus knows what it's like to keep on loving when you don't feel like loving. Jesus knows what it's like to keep on loving when you feel like your love is being rejected. He keeps on loving. It says in 1 John 3:16, we know that what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. In other words, he gave up his life for us so we can give up our lives for others. This is the path of peace. It's the path of surrendering your pain, surrendering your hurt, surrendering your fears, surrendering your problems, surrendering everything in your life that's messing you up. Just saying, God, I give it all to you. I don't know what you're going through. I hope it's not something major right now. But whether it is or isn't, you'll go through these kinds of things in your life, and you need to be ready to walk the path of peace, which is surrender. I surrender control. I surrender to your care. I surrender to your love. God, I surrender the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've all heard the serenity prayer, but most people have never heard the whole prayer. So we know the first part, it goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's where it ends for most people. They think that's all there is. But let me read you the rest of the prayer. It says, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. It's what we've been talking about. taking as Jesus did this simple world as it is, not as I would have it. That's accepting what cannot be changed. Trusting in your will that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. That's the rest of the prayer. Let's pray. If you never opened up your life to Jesus, I encourage you, surrender to him today. Whatever discouragement, whatever depression, whatever fatigue or failure or frustration or fear you have, just bring it to God right now. Dump it before God right now. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Just say this in your heart. Jesus, as much as I know how, I open up my life to you and I surrender the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. I surrender my fears. Jesus, I surrender my flaws. Jesus, I surrender my failures. Jesus, I surrender my frustrations. I surrender my faults. I give you every area of my life. I surrender my past. I surrender my future. And I surrender this moment. I want to walk the path of peace with you. I pray this in your name. Amen.